think that every parable in Scripture has a secret at its core. And it is our call, our right, and I think our responsibility to dig at these parables until we find that secret for us, wherever we are on this day. So I wonder, this parable, which is the Pharisee and the tax collector, I wonder how many of us, when we hear it, think this: gosh, I am so glad I am not like that Pharisee. What a jerk. If I was the kind of person who prayed out loud, I would certainly want to sound more like that tax collector, right? Humble, meek, sorry. Or maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. I don't know. This parable seems to set the Pharisee up as the bad guy and the tax collector as the good guy, which would have been utterly an upside-down way of looking at the world for those who first heard this parable. Pharisees were not bad guys. And actually, the Pharisee in the parable is right. He is not like other people. He is not a thief. He is not a rogue. He is definitely not like that tax collector who was paid by the Romans to collect taxes from his neighbors to support the Roman occupation of Israel. The Pharisee would have been known in his community as a righteous man. He fasts. He pays a tenth of his income to the temple expenses. May I just point out, we have one more week left in our pledge drive. And if we all paid a tenth of our income, including me, we probably wouldn't have to have a pledge drive. Just saying. But to be righteous in that time was to live a life in accordance with the laws of Israel, which was the same thing as saying with the laws of Judaism. That Pharisee was righteous. It's been suggested that another word for righteous for our time, because that's just not a word that we really use in that context anymore, is the word success. The Pharisee was a big success in following the Jewish law. The better at keeping the law, the more successful you were. Today, we could say a physician is righteous because she is very good at her job, and she is educated, and she is wise, and she has got experience, and she knows the rules and regulations. Or a teacher is righteous because he obeys the rules of academia. He knows how to do things in his school and the rules of how to teach his students to produce students with their own righteous grades and academic status. So the Pharisee is right. He is not like the lowly tax collector, and he is also righteous. He is successful at living out his faith. He's doing all the right things. But he is not the one who goes home justified. Only the tax collector goes home with that designation. Nobody would have called the tax collector a righteous man. By working for the Romans, he had, in effect, turned his back on the Jewish law. He was a sellout. He was not to be trusted. He was not ever welcomed in his neighbors' homes. That he prayed at all would have probably been a surprise to the Pharisee. Jesus says that the tax collector was standing far off. He was in the temple, but he was over in the corner. If he was here at Calvary, he'd probably be standing out there in the hallway where he could hear what was going on, but where he wouldn't be bothering us at all. Not righteous, yet Jesus calls him justified. So let's leave that word there for a second. We'll come back to it. I think it's important to find ourselves in this parable. Whether you feel today like you are the Pharisee or the tax collector, or neither one, maybe you're a bystander watching what's going on. Maybe you feel like Jesus today. It's important, I think, to find ourselves there because this parable describes the way that many of us consider one another without being aware of it. From childhood onward, for some mysterious human reason, we constantly compare ourselves to other people. I am so glad I am not like that girl. Her clothes are so ugly. She does not have a clue. I wish I was more like that boy. He gets all the awards. He gets all the attention, and I never do. This continues into adulthood. I know that at times many of us struggle with how we measure our self-worth by comparing ourselves to the successes and to the failures of others. If we base our worth on our success, on our accomplishments, on our abilities, if we base ourselves there, we will never measure up because we will eventually fall behind. And believe me, clergy are not immune to this either. If our measure of worth is our success, of our being righteous, we'll always feel that we could have done more, done better. We could always be better, richer, more successful, have a better house, a better car, better grades, better popularity. Lately, I have been talking to a lot of our teenagers for one reason or another, different context, our beloved children. And I'm seeing in my discussions with them that this striving for righteousness, this striving for success begins very early on and is accompanied by the stress and the anxiety that goes with that. They're asking the question that many of us probably ask ourselves: how do I know when I am good enough? So righteousness is about what we accomplish, and then there's justification. To be justified, according to those times when Jesus is telling the parable, to be justified is to be declared righteous, no matter our success, but to be declared righteous simply because God says you are. The Pharisee, notice, asks God to judge him based on what he is, his accomplishments. But the tax collector asks God to judge him based on who God is. We could identify with anybody in this parable and still end up basing our worth on a comparison. Thank you, God, that I am not like that Pharisee, hypocritical, self-righteous, uber pious. Jesus is trying to get us to see that it is not about who we are. This is about who God is. Merciful, forgiving, compassionate. God who approaches us with overwhelming love. When God considers us, God sees us as all the same human beings, terribly in need of love, terribly in need of God. The tax collector recognized that he was a man terribly in need of God's mercy. He looked inside and he knew who he was and what he needed. So who goes home justified? The one who knows that he is in need. The one whose relationship with God is based on a faithful, humble, truthful understanding of who God is. This secret of the parable, again, I think we have to say it over and over to remind ourselves, the secret of the parable, in fact, I would say the secret to almost all parables, is not about who we are. It's almost always about who God is. The one who calls us all righteous, calls us all justified, and sees us all as uniquely created in God's image and thus holy. God will hold on to our limitations. God will gather up all of our self-doubts. God will pick up our failures in all of our fears and hold on to them. And then in God's grace and redemption, God declares each of us good enough for God's love, good enough for God's acceptance, good enough just because God says we are. To God be the glory. Amen.